Now tonight, I am speaking on a very, very important subject. How the Roman Catholics cooperate. And I want you to turn to this 26th chapter of the book of Proverbs. A man that beareth false witness, this is verse 18. A man who beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. I read you the Ten Commandments. The ninth commandment says, Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And in our larger catechism of our own confession, question 144 and 145, we read, What are the duties required in the ninth commandment? In 145, what are the sins forbidden in the ninth commandment? And here's a summary of these sins, and here's a listing of these duties. The duties required in the ninth commandment are the preserving and promoting of truth between man and man, and the good name of our neighbor as well as of our own, appearing and standing for truth, and from the heart, sincerely, freely, and clearly, speaking the truth, not only the truth in matters of judgment and justice, and in all other things whatsoever. A charitable esteem for our neighbors, loving, desiring, and rejoicing in their good name, sorrowing for and covering of their infirmities, freely acknowledgement of their gifts and graces, defending their innocency, a ready receiving of a good report, and unwillingness to admit of an evil report concerning them, discouraging talebearers, flatterers, and slanderers, love and care of our own good name, and defending it when need requires. So I think I come under that paragraph tonight. Defending it when need requires. And then in 145, another long list of the sins forbidden. Outfacing and overbearing the truth. Passing unjust sentence. Calling good evil and evil good. Rewarding the wicked according to the works of the righteous and the righteous according to the works of the wicked. Speaking untruth. Lying, slandering, backbiting, detracting, talebearing. Whispering, misconstruing intentions, words, and actions, and then raising false rumors, receiving and countenancing evil reports, and stopping our ears against just defense. So there is a place and a time when Christians and those who are serving the Lord have to stop and raise their voices in just defense. And the Lord's people ought to listen to them. And there is a time when all of us who are under the responsibilities of loving the law and keeping the law of God in our hearts, when we simply got to recognize that sin is being committed against us and against our neighbor, and one of these times is tonight. Now, beloved, as Christians, we have a responsibility to live as a good neighbor with those about. And this is one of the obligations that we have under Christ, to love our neighbor. In our own country, where we have freedom, and we have many religious opinions and beliefs, and we have the free exercise of religion, we've always respected the opinion of somebody else, though he may differ with us. And he's entitled to all the protections of our laws, and he's entitled, of course, to the respect of other people. And this we have sought always to give to someone else. The fact that we seek to evangelize and change someone else's opinion and bring them to Jesus Christ in no way reflects so far as any disrespect is concerned. And the Christian in our country is seeking to evangelize the lost and bring them unto a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're seeking, many of us, to bear witness to our Roman Catholic neighbors. Those who are putting confidence in their works and in their church to save them. And we're trying to tell them that they have to be saved by faith in Christ. We're seeking to witness to our Jewish neighbors and our Jewish friends. by pointing out to them that their true Messiah was Jesus Christ, and if they'll believe in Him, they will be born again and will become a child of God. And we're active in the whole ministry of evangelizing all about us, that they might hear the knowledge of the truth and be saved by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one way to heaven, and that's by Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. At the close of our morning service today, I had the privilege of meeting the two former Roman Catholic priests who've given up the Roman Catholic Church and have been saved. They've given up the priesthood, and now they're seeking to give their lives in a ministry for evangelizing. Now, this business of changing from Catholicism to Protestantism and from Protestantism to Catholicism is going on in this country right now. And we're seeking in every way we possibly can to bring men the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, in the conflicts that have developed in our day and generation, especially in our Protestant world and now in the Roman Catholic Church, as a result of the Vatican Council's pronouncement, there is taking place a great realignment. A realignment is taking place in the religious world. It's solid. It's sound. It's based upon faith in the Word of God, in the Bible as the Word of God. And this realignment is shaping up in our great Reformation movement, our separatist movement, our various independent groups, our American Council of Christian Churches, our International Council of Christian Churches, and this development, which we thank God is of His Spirit throughout the whole world. The reflections, too, between the liberals and the conservatives is carried over into the political world, and you have this realignment taking place in the political life of our nation. And so you have liberals in politics and liberals in religion, and usually they are together, and you have conservatives in religion and conservatives in politics, and usually they are lined up together. And so you have a political realignment and a religious realignment which is developing in this country. Now, unfortunately, the liberals, both politically and religiously, have been unwilling to meet in good, open, wholesome debate and discussion of the great issues that are bringing about the realignment. And we have witnessed the employment of tactics and methods, particularly against the conservatives, which are simply unjust, they're unfair, and they are certainly, in our opinion, wicked. And one of them is the tactic that was used during the political campaign, and now it's being revived, especially against those of us who are active in the religious field. It's hate the haters. We name them, you hate them. Hate the haters. We name them, you hate them. And this whole program of agitating that there's somehow or other, there's a broad area of people in our country that are just full of hate. They're nothing but bigots. And so you just, we'll name them and you hate them and we'll deal with them in that particular area. And it's an overall campaign of smear and slander which is being directed against men of this kind in the country. Now, we have just seen the Roman Catholic Ecumenical Council. This council has upset more Roman Catholics, I'm sure, than it has Protestants, because the Roman Catholics realize what the Vatican Council is doing to their church and the internal changes which are taking place. We have watched it and followed it. In fact, I went and was present at the opening of the Ecumenical Council in Rome, as you know. We have expressed our opinion on the developments from time to time, and our general opinion simply is that the Roman Catholic Ecumenical Council has not done one single thing in all the changes which it has been talking about, which in any way has altered the basic fundamental difference between Protestantism and Roman Catholicism. Justification by faith hasn't been touched in any way. The fact that the Bible is our only infallible rule of faith and practice has no way been recognized by the Roman Catholic Church. The basic fundamental divergences which took place 400 years ago as they relate to faith and salvation and the place and the life of the church in a believer has in no way been altered or modified by the Vatican Council. Now that needs to be said. Furthermore, the Vatican Council, under the leadership of Pope John and under the leadership of Pope Paul, has decidedly moved to the left politically. And the Pope, when he came to New York City, gave his endorsement to the United Nations, a bankrupt and weak and impotent organization, and the Pope indicated that he was in favor of some sort of world authority or world or government, and he, by that action, stirred thousands of Roman Catholics across this country. And if anybody wants evidence of it, all they need to do is to look at the mail of Dr. Carl McIntyre, in which Catholic after Catholic from various sections of this country have written, thanking us that I was willing to at least appraise these developments as we looked at them honestly in the light of our American principles. Now, beloved, the objections to the Pope's presence in this country have begun to rise. The Baptist in California developed a real resolution. It wasn't carried in our newspapers. These things were generally suppressed. The Baptist down in North Carolina in convention just recently, they refused to pass a resolution which in any way commended the Roman Catholic Church for its changes which it was making. And there has been, as a matter of fact, it's our opinion that the Pope was simply overexposed to the American people. Had he come with his news conference, with his speech to the United Nations, that would have been all right. But to turn over the network facilities, three of them in TV for a full day, and then give them the mass presentation to the country, it was an overexposure, and it has had a real reaction among Protestants in this country, and nobody knows it more than the high leaders of the Roman Catholic Church. But in view of the fact that I occupy the position I do in our own church and in the Christian world as president of the International Council of Christian Churches with our 111 denominations, and in view of the fact that our broadcast has expanded and grown and is heard now in nearly all sections of the country, in view of these developments, I myself have become a special object of attack and of abuse by the liberal press, by these commentators, by Drew Pearson, of course, and these others. And I have sought to stand up to this attack. I have sought to meet it squarely and directly in my broadcast and in the replies which we have made. But this last few days, we've had these two different attacks which have been made upon me locally. One of them here by the local Roman Catholic official publication called the Catholic Star Herald, published once a week, and which serves the Roman Catholic homes and its constituency throughout this area. And then the last Friday's issue of the Evening Bulletin, with their headline, Prober Braves Wrath of Professional Haters. And then their subhead, Roll Call of Haters, and my name is listed, and I'm the only one in this immediate area that's identified here by the Evening Bulletin as a professional hater. Now, when things go that far, it's time for us to arise. And I can assure you people that if a headline of this nature were carried in the Evening Bulletin in reference to the Jews, it would be called anti-Semitic. If a headline of this nature were carried in the Evening Bulletin in reference to the Negroes, it would be called anti-Negro and it would be called racist. But here's a headline directed at a Protestant preacher who's been living in this area now and preaching from this pulpit in this church for 32 years. My life and my ministry is an open record and an open book, and everything I've sought to do has been openly done, and we've sought to carry on our ministry and our endeavors to reach people in this country through the media that the Lord has made possible for us. A lawful and proper endeavor on the part of any religious leader or any religious group in this country. So here now, this attack seems to be focused upon me, and I'm going to deal first with this Roman Catholic attack, and then I want to speak of the bulletin attack also. But before I read you from the Roman Catholic attack and their marvelous way of cooperating with us here in this area, I want to read you the editorial that he appeared in this same issue in which the attack was made upon me. And this, there are two editorials here. One, Nixon bombs away, and they're very critical of Nixon's statement that we should win the war, and they say that his policy is nothing less than warmongering. And then we come down to the editorial on Baptist unimpressed. A resolution presented to the North Carolina Convention of Baptists to praise the Catholic Church for its new spirit of relationship to other Christian churches was resoundingly defeated. Too bad. After all, it takes two to make friends, and the repudiation was hardly an act of friendship. Perhaps other religious groups will undertake resolutions praising the Church for its ecumenical spirit. It would help to give richer life to the Council's declarations if it were made known that they were accepted and appreciated in the same spirit of brotherhood in which they were fashioned. So they feel that what they've done and what they're doing is in the spirit of brotherhood, and the poor Baptists in North Carolina aren't responding to their nice spirit of friendship and brotherhood by coming out with some commendatory or laudatory statement concerning the actions of the Roman Catholic Church in its ecumenical council. So here's a profession of friendship, here's a profession of brotherhood in an editorial in this very paper, and I want you to see now how nice this brotherhood carries over to McIntyre. I want you to see how beautiful and lovely this wonderful spirit of friendship prevails when they turn to speak about a neighbor who lives in this community and who has been living here now these many years. And so far as I have known, I've never done any harm or injury to any Roman Catholic. We've stood in this pulpit and opposed efforts for the Roman Catholics to get parochial school taxes from our pockets. We opposed that, which was a proper thing to oppose. We opposed appointing an ambassador to the Vatican. We did that on the basis of our separation of church and state. And I have always sought in this pulpit and in my ministry to apply our principles and to try to help maintain these elementary foundation principles of separation of church and state, which has been the glory of America. All right, here's the story. May I read from it? Controversy stalks McIntyre program. 4-5 column headline in their paper. There are some good, juicy, important squabbles going on in both radio and television these days. One of the hottest in radio centers around a controversial gent who is familiar to many South Jerseyites, the Reverend Carl McIntyre. As you may recall, the Reverend McIntyre got permission from the Federal Communications Commission last March to take over WXUR, a small radio station and media. There was plenty of hootin' and hollering both before and after the controversial clergyman was allowed to take over the station, because many persons and groups had opposed him for reasons ranging from alleged anti-Negro activities to alleged un-American leanings. I'm going to stop right there and just take this article for you now and show you how brotherly it is, how full of friendship it is, and how really gracious and tender it is in dealing with this Protestant preacher who occupies a pulpit in this community. Beloved, surely this paper knows, if it knows anything, that the Federal Communications Commission didn't give a radio license to Carl McIntyre. Surely this paper knows, if they don't know, certainly there's something wrong in view of all the trouble and all the conflict. At least they got out of it that I was supposed to be anti-Negro and had anti-American leanings. They got that much out of the controversy. I do not own a radio station. I have not received a license for a radio station. Nothing of the sort. Faith Theological Seminary owns a radio station. It received permission to operate and control WXUR, but Faith Theological Seminary is located over in Pennsylvania in Elkins Park. It has a board of directors, and the Faith Seminary set up a 3-man board which controls the corporation, and I'm not even on the thing. And this 3-man board controls and directs and is responsible for the programming, everything that's on that. And to take the situation as it relates to Faith Seminary and WXUR and lead the Roman Catholics of this area to believe that it's this gent by the name of Carl McIntyre who had the conflict and this McIntyre got the radio station and McIntyre's the one is a complete misrepresentation and a perversion of the truth. All right, now let's get down a little further. And this is what is so vicious, literally vicious, about this misrepresentation. They say that many persons and groups had opposed him for reasons ranging from alleged anti-Negro activities to alleged un-American leanings. They bring up the anti-Negro, they bring up the un-American in the minds of people without identifying anyone who is supposed to have made such an allegation or charge against me. Whoever is supposed to have made that charge, they've kept that in the background, and they just come out with this general idea that Dr. McIntyre is anti-Negro. Well, beloved, 24 denominations in Africa that joined the ICC since this last year, and I was there in their midst, they don't think I'm anti-Negro. Furthermore, there are hundreds and hundreds of Negroes in this country that are praying and encouraged and are standing by the 20th century Reformation movement of which we're a part. And furthermore, I want to make it very, very plain that so far as being any anti-Negro is concerned, we are anxious to see all the Negroes in this country come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And our endeavor is to reach them with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what you have here is this vicious, wicked propaganda of the liberals and the leftists to direct against a man who's standing up in the great struggle, in the debate in our country, to try to simply discredit him in the minds of people by a general smear representation. And that is what the Roman Catholic Star Herald has done to Dr. McIntyre. This is the way they cooperate. This is their brotherhood. This is their love for the truth. Here we come now to the commandments of God. Here we come to these mighty references that I've taken to you tonight from the Word of God. And this text which we find in the book of Proverbs, a man that beareth false witness against his neighbor is a maul and a sword and a sharp arrow. And how does it make you feel when you read something like again? Somebody stuck you. Somebody's taken a sword and driven it into you. And it's a type of sharp arrow that's put at individual. You have the same thing when somebody comes in and says, "Oh, Mrs. Jones, Mrs. Smith said to me the other afternoon when we were talking over the back fence that you were a terrible, wicked woman. You ran around with other men and you don't look after your husband." What do you do when something says that to you? Well, it's a sharp arrow. Because you're looking after your husband and you're not running around with other men. It's a slander and it's a false accusation that's hurled against you. And every last one of us knows that that type of thing is done. And the Bible tells us that when we become Christians, we're done with this tale bearing. We're done with using this sort of thing to discredit the names. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. And it's the name of an individual and their reputation which all of us need to be concerned about. Now, isn't it interesting that in the same paper they've got a nice editorial on friendship and brotherhood, and they show the most marvelous friendship, the most marvelous brotherhood in dealing with a situation that concerns our own immediate locality. And the place to test your friendship is at home with your neighbors. The place to test your brotherhood is not with the Baptist in North Carolina, but with the Bible Presbyterians in Collingswood, New Jersey. That's the place to test your brotherhood. Now, the reason I speak like this tonight, the time has come when those of us who are Bible-believing Christians, who stand where the Christian church has stood for 2,000 years, we're going to have to rise up and say we are finished with this type of abuse from the Roman Catholics. We are finished with this type of misrepresentation from the Philadelphia Evening Bulletin, as I'm going to turn now and speak to you for a few moments about. But when the Roman Catholics come with their ecumenical council, and they make all these changes, as they say, so that somehow or other they can be accepted more by the Protestants, and then the Protestants will come back and we'll have this great ecumenical youth. Beloved, there hasn't been one single action in the Vatican Council that I have seen or heard of that's been directed toward the Bible-believing Protestants. Every action of the Vatican Council has been directed toward the liberal Protestants who are working in the ecumenical movement through the World Council of Churches, and furthermore, it's directed toward this liberal constituency of the present-day apostasy in which so many of these liberals don't even believe in the virgin birth. And how the Roman Catholic Church, with its tremendous emphasis upon the Virgin Mary and upon her virginity as the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ, can come forth and give this hand to unbelievers in high places like Bishop Pike of the Protestant Episcopal Church, who can't even affirm his faith in the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I say here tonight in this pulpit that Carl McIntyre, who believes in the virgin birth, Carl McIntyre, who gives all honor and praise to the Virgin Mary as the mother of our Lord, highly favored above every other woman that ever lived on the face of this earth. Carl McIntyre, who stands here and says these things, stands closer to the Roman Catholic Church doctrinally and historically than these apostate liberals of the Protestant Church do, with whom the Roman Catholic Church is now working and cooperating. Now this is what I say, because I believe it's the truth. And the time has come now when our good name, and when a man in my position begins to be abused and slandered and misrepresented and reviled, I'm not anti-Negro. I'm not anti-American. Beloved, if I'm anything at all, I'm trying my best to defend the individualism which the commandments of God require. We are responsible to God. And I'm trying to defend that individualism and the freedom of that individual from this broad overall development which is going to socialize our country. And I stand for this because God is the author of liberty, and I will stand for it, and I'll keep on standing for it, regardless of what the Roman Catholic officials here in this area may say or do with Dr. Carl McIntyre. I think that the Catholic Star Herald owes me a correction, a retraction, and an apology. And I ask for it. One thing is certain, they can never point to anything that I've ever written about them that comes anywhere near being what they said about me. Never can they appoint anything like that. And when I look at this confession of faith in our larger catechism and these questions here about thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor, and I come down to these great sections here in which we are told that we're to have a charitable esteem for our neighbor, that we're to speak the truth, and that we are to have love and care for our own good name and defending it when need requires. The need requires that we stand and we defend our good name. And furthermore, I want to say to you fundamental Bible-believing Protestants, the day is just upon us when the whole overall liberal establishment is focusing its attack upon us. And we're going to have to get up and plead for our rights as a minority like the Negroes have been doing. We're going to have to get up and begin to plead for our rights as a minority like the Jews have been doing. And if the Jews can have minority rights, we should have minority rights. If the Negroes can have minority rights, the fundamental Protestant ought to have some minority rights. And if they can be treated by the newspapers with respect, we ought to be treated by the newspapers with respect. Oh, beloved, it needs to be said. In fact, it has to be said. Because we can't sit here and permit this type of abuse and slander against your good name to be carried on like this. Now, beloved, the Philadelphia Evening Bulletin. Drew Pearson comes out, of course, we're used to him. And Drew Pearson is quite a columnist. He seems always to get mixed up on a lot of things. But may I read you what his column said? Senator Gale McGee is a mild-mannered father of five children who has taught school most of his life, but who has now taken on one of the roughest assignments on Capitol Hill. He is investigating right-wing radio TV broadcasters.
This may sound like a duck soup assignment. The real fact, however, is that programs of the extreme right, including those of certain Texas oil men, the fundamental preachers, and the hate peddlers, are now carried on more than 4,000 radio and TV stations. And a good many of them will turn their blast against the senator who investigates them. Advisors have warned the ex-school teacher from Wyoming that the whole apparatus will turn on him with a fury that only professional haters can generate. And then it goes on with a few more things, and then it has the roll call of the haters, and that's the subhead put in by the bulletin. The first is H.L. Hunt. The second is Howard Kirshner. The third is Clarence Mannion. And he, by the way, is a very responsible leading Roman Catholic. The Reverend Billy James Hargis, Kent Courtney, and he's another Roman Catholic also, and Dan Smoot. And Dan Smoot used to be a Methodist, but he left the Methodist Church. And the Reverend Carl McIntyre, perhaps the biggest operator of them all. And so, first Drew Pearson comes along and says that we're going to be investigated. Well, unfortunately for Mr. Pearson, I have a letter from Senator Gale McGee, which I read on Tuesday on my network, dated November 27th, in which he said they have no intentions of investigating me or the National Council or any other group. They're not going to investigate us at all. But Drew Pearson says he's going to do it. And furthermore, Drew Pearson says that we're going to turn our fury against him, and it will be only the fury of professional haters when it comes. And the headline writer for the bulletin picks up this professional hater thing, which hasn't manifested itself yet, and turns that into this stinging headline: Prober Braves Wrath of Professional Haters. One of the signs of the last days will be false accusers. Lord says that's going to multiply. And one of the evidences that God's people are going to have to face. Beloved, it's not going to be easy to be a Christian and stand up for this Word of God. It's not going to be easy. And a lot of weak people are going to fall by the wayside. But the time has come when the Bible-believing people and the fundamentalists who stand by the Word of God as we've stood all these years are going to have to band closer and closer together and ask God to undertake for us. Now, I have written the evening bulletin. I've protested this. And this week I intend to read on the radio my letter to the bulletin. The time has come. You realize that the evening bulletin is one of the largest newspapers in the country, and its editor for years was head of the Associated Press. And you have a paper here now which is turning to the use of certain tactics in newspaper headlining, which are of a very questionable nature. And it's being used to discredit in public mind a preacher of the gospel who's preaching here. Now, I'm inviting the editors of the bulletin to come over here and visit our church and see what we are. Let them hear you people sing. Let them hear me pray. I'd give anything if the editor of the bulletin could have heard my sermon I preached this morning on our blessed Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm preaching the wrath of God against sin and the love of God for sinners. And I want every man who's lost in his sin, whether he be Gentile or Jew, whether he be Roman Catholic or Protestant, I want him to come to the place where he realizes that he cannot save himself or help himself or deliver himself, and that only Christ, by his death upon the cross, made the atonement necessary to pardon our sins. And that by faith in Christ, our sins are pardoned, and you pass from death unto life, and ye receive the gift of everlasting life. I have the idea that the Bible presents that if you don't believe in Jesus, you will die in your sins. And that means every man, woman, and child that lives upon this earth. They must turn from their sins, and they must hear the preacher, and they must listen to the gospel, and they must turn to God in repentance and in faith, and ask God to have mercy and abundantly pardon, and He will do it. It's not going to be easy to be a Protestant. But the evening bulletin has had quite a program for some time. When they came out with this article on Shelton College, it wasn't a Shelton College article. It was an evening bulletin against Dr. McIntyre. And when they had their first paragraph in the article dealing with me, they called me an ultra. And when their reporter came to me and I talked to him and tried to be very courteous and gracious in every way and I answered his questions, I said, "Don't call me an ultra. I don't believe that's what I am. We don't accept that. I don't object to being called a fundamentalist. That's been the issue for 50 years, fundamentalism versus modernism. I don't object to that. But don't call me an ultra." The very first sentence in their article dealing with me called me ultra. And there were no quotation marks about it, just the paper called me ultra. But the same correspondent who interviewed me and wrote this article was the one that they had interviewed Professor Genovese the day after the election. And he was careful to make the distinction that Genovese insisted upon, that to be a Marxist doesn't make you a communist. And he was so careful to make the distinction that Genovese was making between a Marxist and between a communist. Well, in my lexicon, a Marxist is a communist. But here you have the paper carefully protecting Genovese, but when it comes to Carl McIntyre, no, I object to the word ultra. I repudiate the word ultra. I am standing for the great gospel of Christ, which has been the same and always will be the same. And I stand in my own country for the law and the morality and the righteousness of the Word of God. And I don't think that that which the country has honored and blessed in days past suddenly should become some sort of an ultra in this country. And so I object to it. But the bulletin did. And their policy in the past has been generally one of suppressing us, refusing to give us reports. When the Russians were here, you remember, and we had our big demonstrations, and we tried our best to get them to give a little story about it or have a picture at the airport. No, nothing like that. Last summer when we went off to Europe, we had our planes, and all our people were here, and these men were here from foreign countries with fine international cooperation and relationship. No, we couldn't get them to give us a thing. Time and time again, we sent them stories, and nothing ever appears. But now they've changed their strategy. Possibly it's been since Faith Seminary was able to get WXUR, but their strategy now is to deal with us not in an editorial, but in headlines. I'd much prefer if they wrote an editorial and came out flat-footedly and wrote about us in an editorial. The community would be in a much better position to meet it. But no, we just get slanted headlines. Here it is, professional haters. And the only one of this list of professional haters in all this area is Reverend Carl McIntyre. Now, we don't intend to sit here, ladies and gentlemen, and you beloved saints tonight, and permit this thing to develop without a vigorous protest and a defense of our good name. Do you know what these gentlemen in the Bulletin and in the Catholic Star Herald forget? I think they must forget that men like myself have some assistance that they don't calculate with. There's a God to help us. There's a God in whom we trust. There's a God who deals with men. And then our Savior said, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. For my name's sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven." Oh, I'd like to go on, perhaps I should, but we've got a great world church in the making here, and the Roman Catholics intend to lead it. And this apostate Protestantism that we've been dealing with, this inclusivism, is going to go back into the bosom of the Roman Catholic Church. And then you have this great world power in the form of a government. And this past week, when the National Council made its pronouncement, they said they were going to work directly and with the World Council, with the Roman Catholic Church, to find some alternative to war. The only alternative I've ever heard them talk about in relationship to war is a world government. A world government. And they're working now for a great world authority, and the United States will have to give up some of her independence and her sovereignty and independence of action. And we're moving into a world political state and a world religious state, and these two great powers are gathering themselves together. And I can tell you, beloved, when you read the Bible, that's one of the things that the Lord says will develop in the end time. But your hope and my hope as Bible believers, and we are Bible believing Christians, and the great hope that you and I have is that God will keep us and sustain us, and we still have the liberty for a preacher to stand in this country and preach in this pulpit tonight and have a radio microphone so the Roman Catholics can hear me, and I hope there are thousands of them listening to me right now. And they can hear this Protestant preacher speaking out of his soul, speaking out of his faith, speaking out of his conviction, speaking because he has something to say to men and women who are dying in their sins and who need everlasting life. And that life is in Jesus Christ. And as long as we have this liberty, we'll fight to keep this freedom. We'll fight and we'll fight to preserve it so that we can continue to speak. But as the pressures gather, we're going to have to find our help and our comfort more and more in the living God. No, it's not going to be long. It's not going to be long, beloved, till the Lord's going to come. Somehow or other, I think I'm going to enjoy this Christmas more than any Christmas I've ever enjoyed in my life. Oh, what a Christmas it's going to be. This babe in Bethlehem's manger, born of the Virgin, pure, sinless, spotless. Why, he came to be the image of the invisible God. He's the one who had his hand in the creation of the things in heaven, and I've never seen them yet. And the things on earth, we've just seen a fraction of them. Visible and invisible. Thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were made by this one. Oh, beloved, how we rise above the evening bulletin, how we rise above the Roman Catholic Church in our area and their attack upon us. How we rise beyond all of these things, and we find our security and we find our strength in the babe of Bethlehem's manger. We're going to enjoy this Christmas. We're going to love that babe. We're going to thank God that he is the one who had cleansed our souls. He's the one who's justified us by his blood. He is the one who hath given unto us a new nature, a new life, a new hope, a new destiny. He's made of us new creatures. And everything we have belongs to this Christ. And let us serve him. Let us stand up for him. Let us go to the evening bulletin. Let's file our protest. Let's demand our minority rights. Let's stand up as fundamental Bible-believing Christians and let them know that we're entitled to the same considerations they give the Jews, the same considerations they give the Negroes. At least we ought to have the same considerations in headline writing when the bulletin puts its headlines out. Well, I've done what is a Christian duty. I've done it. My confession of faith backs me up in it. And if any of my own members say, well, I wish the preacher wouldn't talk about these things, well, you just stop them from jumping on me, will you please? Just to stop them from making us a focal center of attack. And as long as they do, by the grace of God, we're going to maintain our integrity. And we're going to maintain our good name. And we're going to appeal to men everywhere who have any sense of honesty and fairness and decency at all to recoil against this abuse of fundamental Bible-believing Christians. This is a form of persecution. Have the Roman Catholics stopped their persecution of Protestants? That's the question. But at least we see how they cooperate in Camden County. Let us pray. Oh God, tonight we ask thy blessing upon this message that we've delivered. And oh great God, fill us with love for these who have injured us. And oh Father, as we defend our own good name, We just ask that Thou wilt use this message to speak to sinners that they might be saved. Oh, Father, men who do not have the knowledge of Christ unto salvation, may they come to Christ and be saved. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.